we're going to start the show now.
What show?
Wait.
What show are we starting, Sim?
That wasn't for you. That was for Tyler. But yeah, I guess we're starting the show. You're right. I guess Tyler's going to keep that part in.
Fucking ding-dongs.
We finished Thanksgiving, and now we just...
What are your feelings about Thanksgiving, Sim?
The tradition or the meal itself?
I don't know. It seems like you have two different opinions. So what are they?
I'm not a big fan of the meal, to be honest.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so why?
I just think that I don't like the sides. I like the turkey, and I'm not into the sides.
Most people
are into the sides.
Yeah. What sides do you not like?
I don't like corn niblets.
Corn niblets?
Yeah, isn't that a side?
I guess it could be.
I don't like stuffing if it's soggy. I don't like mashed potatoes unless they're like have a nice like a little bit of truffle or some more garlic or maybe a little bit. You know,
you're a fancy man.
I'm not saying fancy. A little bit of garlic. Oh, truffle is fancy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Truffle oil. It doesn't have to be, you know, fresh shaved truffles.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, this is getting weird.
The hole is just getting deeper, and I love it.
Can we just get some feedback here? Do you like Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I do. I like Thanksgiving. No gifts, just food.
I like football.
Yeah. I know, I do too. You know, it's nice to park everyone in front of the TV. And
any family drama? Do you ever get into some family drama during Thanksgiving?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Do you like that?
Well, when I'm not a part of it, but when I get to be an observer. But yeah, no, it's delicious. It's wonderful.
I know, me too. It's fun to watch sometimes.
It's like, you know, Friday morning coffee talk with the family. I like Thanksgiving. I like it because of, you don't have to deal with sort of the pressure of gift giving.
Yeah, you hate giving gifts, but we'll get into that another time.
All right, fine.
So, Anna, since we're recording this a little bit in advance, let's talk about the second call from the Emily Ratajkowski episode. And that was with Beth in Iowa. And she's never been super close to her mom, and she felt like they had nothing in common, or they have nothing in common. And
that's right.
And Beth is jealous of other girls who are close with their moms.
Right.
You told Beth that she's not alone and that she should write a letter to her telling her that she wants to feel closer to her.
Yeah.
And we got a letter from Margaret. Subject was, "I can relate," with 4 exclamation marks. "Hi, Sim and Anna. I teared up a little when I heard Beth tell her story about her relationship with her mom. I, too, have little to no relationship with mine and have always struggled with the desire for that closeness. Seeing other moms and their daughters have always made me jealous of a relationship I will never have. Hearing Beth made me feel a little less alone. I just thought I would share my story, too. Love, love, love the podcast." So, I mean, there was a short letter, but I wanted her to know that I got a bunch of those.
Thank you so much for writing in. And I think that it's a pretty common scenario, you know, like mother-daughter relationship, any parental relationship is always very complicated. And I really appreciate people being able to talk about it. So thank you, guys.
And now the great Bill Hader.
The great Bill Hader? Were you like, I want a boy?
No. I was stoked with the 3 girls.
Yeah.
I was really stoked.
Yeah.
Now they're the best.
You don't have to deal with like super like sticky, crunchy socks.
Yeah.
As they get older. There'll be other things, but not that.
I don't have to think about that.
Yeah, no, I think about that with Jack, though. I'm like, how am I going to tell him that he really needs to learn how to do his own laundry at a certain age?
Yeah. I'm trying to teach mine now.
Because I don't want to be dealing with crunchy shit, man. Yeah. I'll be like, those are your fucking lost babies, bitch. Make sure it's sanitized.
You're an animal. You're an animal. Clean up after yourself. Don't be an animal.
Do you think, I don't know, now I'm off on a little bit of a tangent, but I was just thinking about, you know, sort of the lost baby argument. And
Yeah. There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think about that. Yeah. Like, you know, when you're in like a certain bathroom of like a friend that you know is just lonely and you're just like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, you could use my bathroom. I'm like, nah. I'm just going to shit on the floor. I'm good, man, because that is just a jerk off den and I don't want to deal with it.
Hey, Bill. Okay. So I want to go back to a little bit. Thank you so much for being here, by the way.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for accommodating this. It was rad.
Well, you say that now. You said that in past tense.
I know. Accommodating
this. It was rad.
It was rad.
Are you sure?
It is rad.
Let's.
Oh, no.
Sure
the fact that you
that.
Accommodated it was rad. I haven't done it yet.
Are you kidding? you were such a coup for us. Thank you.
Oh, no
truly.
Problem.
Should I say congratulations on your Emmy?
Oh, thank you.
I know I said, should I?
Yeah, but I said thank you. Anyway.
Yeah, but you could say something like, no, you don't have to do that.
No, you don't have to do that. I said thanks, so just go away.
Me too. I was trying to make it go
I'm
away.
Like, well, there
well.
It goes. No, like...
That must have felt pretty fucking great, though.
Yeah, it was
it's
good.
So well. You're so fucking amazing.
Oh, that means a lot. Thanks. It was just a big, yeah, it was a big surprise, and then. You know, you just go right back to work the next day and you feel like an idiot.
Did you have to do like those 5 a.m. calls? Or was like, oh.
No, it was like, that was like the nomination was that way. But no, it was more like once you win, you go backstage and it's just a barrage of press and interviews. And then you just kind of get spit out of it. And then people are like looking at you like, wait, how did you win?
The first time.
Is your show even a comedy?
A few years ago, when Mom was starting to get some Emmy buzz, and Allison has won a few times, and you know, and this show has been sort of like circling, like whatever. My team called me the night before, and I was so blissfully unaware because I've never been a part of that circuit or that conversation.
Yeah.
And they called me the night before, and they're like, just be prepared. We might be calling you.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, it was.
That's such a jinx,
oh, my
too.
God.
Why would you do that?
And, of course, there's no phone call.
And they go, hey, we're calling you to say we shouldn't have called you last night.
Right. Right.
No,
and I found myself, like, jarred out of my ambient bliss.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And
now, why would you call...
To tell me,
to tell you, we might be calling
yeah,
you.
Yeah, just call.
Yeah, it's way nicer when you don't know why you think it's like something bad. You're like, and, oh, my publicist, I guess it might be dead because I'm getting a call at 5 a.m. Why am I getting a call from my publicist at 5 a.m.? I guess he's dead. And that's his mom being like, Matt was hit by a car and I have his phone. I go, oh my God. And so
poor
I'm like,
Matt.
I'm like,
do
I'm like,
I have to go to Cedars?
I'm like,
oh,
so
God.
Who's my new publicist? No, tell me it's not Jane, that lady. God, she took that flight with me all the way to New York, and she was a real chatterbox.
Ugh.
No.
Macchiato City with Jane. But wait, so the first time I met you, I believe, was SNL, right?
Yeah, it wasn't Cloudy, right? You had hosted once before.
Yeah.
And,
okay, you might be bored of this conversation, but I've hosted SNL twice, and I think both times shaved a good 10 years off of my life.
Yeah, no, it's awful.
How did you feel hosting? And you've probably answered this question before.
No, it is true. It's terrifying. Yeah,
did you feel more comfortable, I guess, being on the other side and were your first years at SNL?
No, not at all. I was totally terrified.
What I experienced, this is probably not going to get me back on SNL, but that's okay. There's a decade of my life that I've saved, maybe. But is there a conscious effort? Because I do think that it's, you know, this obviously, as you know way better than I do, which is why I want to explore this topic a tiny bit, and then I want to get on to other shit. But that it's such a highly competitive environment, mm-hmm. right? Is there an effort to sort of make a host feel comfortable? And if so, why didn't you do that more with me?
I know. We felt you could handle it. I always felt when I was a cast member, when a host would come in, you're always kind of gauging where they were at. And sometimes you would say like, wow, you're doing really good. Or that was really funny, you know, or because people don't tell you that when you're there.
Yeah.
You know?
You need it so badly.
Yeah. I think it's a thing that they think you'll work harder, you know, or you'll be more focused if you're terrified or something.
So, and that's with the entire cast as well, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm treading in ground I probably don't really understand. It's so subjective, you know, like from where I was at, I wasn't one of those people like, you know, Amy Poehler or Kristen Wiig or someone who they were so comfortable. They seemed so, you know, Kenan Thompson the same way, just so effortless on the show. It was like they were alone in their room.
Oh, I totally disagree. I mean, at least the perception.
I was terrified. I was like, every little moment, every little tick or whatever, I would painfully rehearse because I would get very nervous, and I had like really bad, it's chronicled a little bit, but I had terrible, terrible anxiety when I was there. I'd have really bad anxiety attacks to the point where I, you know, couldn't breathe, and you know, you have a little breakdown and all this stuff and all that. And then you're,
hence the 20 years off my life.
Yeah. And you're going like,
and you're doing that and like they're going, every all right, fucking week.
I know. And the music would start anytime I hear,
behind that door.
Oh yeah. And Jenna's like, all right, they just started the monologue. And you go, oh man. It's just, it's a whole, you know what it is? I found out it's just, anticipation and some anticipatory anxiety. It's just from Monday when you go into the pitch meeting, you know, okay, the clock's ticking, and it's just this constant feeling of like a clock's ticking to the table read, and then you get this anxious feeling with the table read, and then that's over with, and you can kind of relax and go, okay, so that's the show. Here are the sketches I'm in. And then something would happen where, okay, I could get kind of comfortable with these are the sketches I'm in, and then they'll go, oh, Elliot Spitzer just slept with a prostitute. You're going to play him in the cold open.
I want to see you be the prostitute. You know,
yeah. He goes, you got to play him in the cold open, and it's, you know, tomorrow. Or like I showed up one time on a Saturday. It was Jeff Bridges was hosting. It was a Christmas show, so it was a big show that everybody was going to watch. And I showed up on Saturday, and Seth Meyers was like, hey, we're going to write a cold open with you as Julian Assange, so you should go figure that out.
I was like, cool.
And I would just go into my office, and there'd be all these DVDs in my dressing room with Julian Assange, and I have to put them in and just watch it and try to figure out an impression while I'm running out and doing all the other stuff.
Of like this reclusive, like, weird internet fucking hacker dude.
Yeah, weird guy. And then it's like, and then you do it at Dress, and then Lauren Michaels between Dress and her is like, it's a, yeah, I mean, you're playing it more British. Isn't he South African or something? You know, you're playing it more. And you're like, oh, fuck, you know? And so you can't help, but you go out there and you're in your head. And that was one where I was Julian Assange, and I had a glass of wine in my hand, and it was all right to camera. And I just suddenly, in the middle of it, it felt like someone was sitting on my chest. I had that, and I started shaking, and I had a wig on, and my wig started to come off because I started sweating. And so I put the wine glass just right in front of my face. So you couldn't, I thought, if they can't see my face. So I just started putting the wine glass in front of my face, and Jenna, stage manager, is right by the camera, and she's lowering, like, you know, motioning me to, like, we can't see your face. And when it was done, I just remember Seth Meyers going, hey, was everything okay out there? And I was like, no.
And then that is the worst question to also ask.
Yeah. Was, hey, man, are you, was everything okay out there? And I was like, no. And I just, I just had a full, just overload. I just couldn't do it.
So, I mean, when I'm watching SNL, you would never think that you have this anxiety or you're nervous up there. I mean, at least I didn't get that impression. Did your cast members know, or is that something you kind of hid from everyone?
I kind of hid it from everybody. I kind of opened up about it because my experience in that kind of informed Barry a bit. Yeah, Fred said he didn't really know about it. I think people saw me pacing a lot, running my lines, which is like on Saturday, I could never stop moving. I would just be pacing a lot. But Kristen Wiig, I remember one time going like, hey, Bill, you know, you're good. Like, you're good on the show. You just need some... You're just insecure or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you need some confidence, man, you know? But, like, in a nice way, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if you'd be fully human if you didn't.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Like, and I do want to move on to a couple other things because I have a lot that I want to talk to you about. But what were some of your favorite characters that you created? Because I love the absurdity of Vincent Price.
Yes, Vincent Price was one of, that was one of the first things I ever did on the show.
And are the absurd notions hard to sell?
Yeah. I mean, you just have to kind of do it. And then certain things that you're like, this is going to kill, never works. And then the thing that you kind of shit out because you're just going like, I don't know, like Herb Welch, the old reporter.
Yeah.
John Mulaney and I had nothing to write. And there was a YouTube video of this old reporter getting yelled at by a guy in the audience and the guy back at the station. And we just went, well, let's just write this, you know? And then we did it at the table and it got like a huge laugh and we just were totally shocked about it. We did a thing, the game show.
Oh, yeah.
Tanya. Yeah.
Oh.
That was, that's one of the biggest laughs I ever got was when I snap at you.
It was so.
That's one of the biggest laughs I've ever heard in that studio is when I've, for some reason, yell at you. And your reaction, you like. I remember we went from that to Manuel Ortiz, I think, like the Manuel Ortiz show.
Yes, which God, I'm a terrible singer and dancer. And the whole thing is so fucking terrifying. Yes. And it was like suddenly, like, you know, you're getting picked up, literally picked up and hauled across like
Donna,
the stage
and
getting a wig slapped on you. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, trying to go through that whole rigmarole and you're just kind of going like,
was that your
happening?
Concept though? Whatever happened to Tanya?
No, that was Simon Rich, John Mulaney, and America Sawyer. They were kind of like the dream team of writers of sketches like that, that were very, just the concept was super strong and they did great things like the game show stuff. And
Did you ever see that, Sim? Whatever happened to Tanya?
Yes.
Tanya, and they go, Tanya, what is it, Tanya? Tanya, are you okay?
Tanya.
Tanya, are you all right, Tanya? Tanya, what
Tanya,
is it?
Tanya, tell us.
Tell us, Tanya, what is it?
Boy, Tanya.
I remember the Manuel Ortiz show, I had one line in it, and they said, do you know why you're here? And I said, to be on television, to meet new people. But that's what I mean, is like, I would go in my dressing room and go, to meet, you know, to be on television, to meet new people. To be on television, to meet new people. Like, I was so, because you had one shot at it.
I probably, you know, should have done that more.
But I think it's good if you don't, because you're out of your head. And like, you know what it is? Like, well, I watch something.
I haven't been asked
like a movie. No. But I was like, like really great movie or something. And, you know, or you know, you go do something and you're happy with your performance. I never remember it. I remember doing it. I'll go like, oh, I don't, that like, or those are choices I didn't consciously make because you're loose.
Yeah.
But I think I was just so rigid. And it wasn't until I started meditating and I started kind of chilling out a bit.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Goodbye.
I want to have a conversation about meditation.
No,
oh, she's
no,
sick of it?
Yeah, no.
We'll have
off the air.
Yeah. Fine.
Well, I started meditating. It really helped me. I'm sorry.
Yes. But, can I, but actually, I do want to mention one thing. There was
You're
something.
You're sick of this?
No. No, it's not about meditation, but actually, I think you'll find this interesting.
Okay.
So you mentioned on an interview a long time ago. I don't remember.
I really stepped in it, man. It's like, oh, it's fucking meditation. No, but
you would fuck up on purpose?
Oh,
so this
yeah.
way it would relax you? Is that a tactic?
That was what I was going to say. I started meditating, but then I also started doing stuff like I was so I would go, okay, what am I afraid of? Okay, I'm afraid of messing up my lines because I'm not very good at reading, you know, like the cue cards. And so I would purposely just screw up my first line or I would approximate my first line in a sketch. And it sounds weird, but it was like, it would help unlock my brain, the anxiety out of my brain. So if it was like, my first line was, you know, as a game show host, ladies and gentlemen, how are we doing tonight or whatever, I'd be like, all right, everyone. All right. Hey, how we doing tonight? You know, or something that wasn't on the cards. And then that would weirdly trick my brain to be like, okay, you messed up and you're fine. You know, you're still here. You're still breathing. You're not, nothing bad happened. And then I would kind of slowly relax.
See, I had the, I don't know. I remember Lauren saying to me, like, the dress rehearsal is for fucking up. And that way you'll get the live show great. Mm-hmm. And that was just unleashing the hamster in the wheel. That was like fucking Petco. Like I was like, oh God. Oh
yeah.
Like I didn't know how to digest that. So Bill, you and I did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs together. We don't have to spend a ton of time on
it. We actually got to do stuff in the studio together, which is rare.
I know, which I think they never used.
They didn't?
I don't.
Oh, man.
No, they totally used it. That's why it was brother. Such a hit.
No, it was, I just remember that was the only time, I think, on a movie where I was with, because they always ask you that when you do press. Now, are you in the room with the other actors?
That's right.
And I'm always like, no.
The only reason
why so Phil and Chris could be like, see, there they are. We have a picture of it. Fuck you. No, but it was a thing where we were at podiums and we actually did scenes together.
I know, which was amazing. And then, we're separated for years and then we have to do like 18 press junkets together.
We did a press junket for candy shops, and we did one for Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs Part 2, where I had just, because I was working on something else and I had completely lost my mind because we did like a 16-hour.
I feel like you, like when I was lagging, you helped me out and hopefully I was able to return the favor. Like, wow, it's so great to do a kids movie. Yeah, it's so like, fun. Talkadiles. And
we had the same questions over and over. Yeah, we also did that thing at Comic-Con where it was like a red carpet and there was like maybe 100 outlets and we had to go do every single one. And I was like, is this a joke? And it was like speed dating. It was crazy.
But do you remember what happened at Comic-Con though?
That was another thing. Someone got stabbed in the eye once when I was at Comic-Con, but that wasn't there. That was at a different thing.
That wasn't the memory I was going to recount.
When I was there for the movie Paul, someone got stabbed in the eye and we were backstage for like 2 hours.
Wouldn't it be amazing if I removed one of my eyes right now?
Remember this?
Yeah, it was me, you dick. Do you remember we got led into the wrong hall?
Yeah.
So we're led.
And we're dressed up.
So our directors, Chris Miller and Phil Lord and Bill Hader and myself were led into this kind of this massive hall at Comic-Con. And it was my first time at Comic-Con to promote Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And I remember that it was pretty packed and we're led in and it felt like there was, I don't know, it felt like there was like 2,000 people there or something. Yeah. So we sit down at the panel desk and there's lights and whatever and it's a thing. And then like within maybe 30 seconds, we're escorted off because we've been led into the wrong
hall.
And so like, then
my name's not J.J. Abrams. Looking at the point, I'm like, wait a minute, I think
it was a Star Wars.
No, I'm just making
but
no, a joke.
But it was something,
it was something
because
that
we were clearly
something.
Then we were led into like a much smaller hall.
No, you're niche, way niche. Yep. No.
So we had to do this embarrassing, like, sit down, get up, and leave.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like,
there was like 200 people.
So you had a smaller hall?
Yeah, much smaller. And anyway.
It was hilarious. It was like, where do you guys think you're going?
Exercise in humility. That's important.
That's so cute
sometimes.
That you guys think you guys are thinking. That's so sweet. No, you guys are over here.
How our industry defines comedy and drama has always been you know, annoying and frustrating to me. Maybe it shouldn't, because maybe I, you know, like I've talked about in the past, like I don't know really why I'm in comedy, because I don't fundamentally feel funny at all. But what you do really blurs those lines in like Skeleton Twins and it, like, right? Like you, I know you agree with me on this.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, even Barry, like, right now, Barry, it's a comedy, it's a drama and action.
Yeah.
Well.
No one, people actually think with Barry, they're like, well, this is not a comedy, but I don't know. To me, it's just, I just come at from a standpoint of like, what's a good story? And then whatever within the story is, you don't really do it with books. Like when I read books, I'll be very moved.
Right.
And then be laughing. You know, you
right.
read David Sedaris, which is comedy, but there's, I will
right.
be crawling,
like Catcher
crying.
In the Rye or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
any
but,
great
but,
book.
But,
yeah.
but like, yeah, I know Catcher in the Rye. He caught something in a rye field.
Remember Catcher in the Rye when he caught the
Remember?
Rye?
Remember?
That story about the baseball team.
Yeah.
And the catcher got lost.
Yeah. But it's always been a simplistic idea. The two seem like this divide with... I don't know.
Yeah, no, because, and even also with just television where it's like, well, you're 30 minutes, so you must be a comedy, and you're an hour, so you must be a drama or whatever. But we just liked Alec Berg, who I do Barry
yeah,
with.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
just
adore Alec, yeah.
He's the best, but he just...
Is he the best?
He is the best.
Is he going to listen to this?
Yeah, he probably is.
Alec Berg, I did The Dictator with him.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Shout out, man. Put me in one of your fucking shows or movies. Love
he's
you.
The best.
What a dick I am.
Why?
I don't know. I was like using sort of the podcast to, I don't know, get another job potentially.
He just wrecked his car. He's listening to this in his car and he just went, she'll do one of our. Are you serious? No, but we like 30-minute. The 30-minute format, just because it kind of restrains us in how to tell a story, and so you can't really fuck around too
but
much.
Don't you think that the genre blocking,
it is weird too when you go and do press and they go, well, I thought this was going to be funny and it's not. I mean,
right.
It's actually quite violent,
right?
And we kind of anticipated that with Barry, where we thought, well, maybe we'll, like the opening shot of the first episode, we kind of very consciously was like, let's just make this not funny immediately with a dead body in the bed and all that stuff. So people kind of know, oh, this is the tone of this thing. And then let the comedy come second instead of being funny and then punching in the face with something really vicious.
Can I do, what's my red carpet character's name?
Her name is Beige Schumacher Smith.
Can we do a little Beige?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're at like the HBO upfronts.
I'm worried that you're laughing too hard right now.
I want to see
okay.
this.
Okay. Okay. You ready? Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's Bill Hader. Bill, hi. Hi. It's Beige.
Hi, Beige.
Hi, Beige.
Hi.
I'm Beige. I'm Beige. Oh my gosh, you are so funny. You are so funny. So now tell us a little bit. I know it's a little bit crazy here tonight, but tell us a little bit about your new show, Larry. So are you excited to have left SNL? How do you feel?
I left it 5 years ago.
And do you love being here tonight? Is it so exciting? You don't?
No.
Well, okay. And tell us a little bit about your show, though.
It's called Barry.
Uh-huh. And do you enjoy it?
This is so accurate. It's making me
sick. You must enjoy it. It's a little bit more dramatic than you're used to.
Yes, it is. It is.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. That's so fun. So it's really it's been an exciting journey for you.
Yes, it's been a very exciting journey working on Barry at HBO.
Uh-huh. And tell us a little bit about your character.
His name is Barry. He's a hitman who's trying to be an actor.
Oh my gosh. Now, does he still kill?
Yes.
Well, good for him and good for you. And congratulations on everything. And you look fabulous tonight. You just look amazing. I have terrible. A couple of other questions. A couple other questions. Now, Kanye.
Oh, no.
Do you enjoy Kanye, and how do you feel about sort of the SNL, the controversy?
I didn't really pay much attention to
it. Oh, you
it.
Didn't?
No, people can do whatever they want.
SNL anymore?
I just don't have time a lot.
Sure.
No.
Oh, sure.
I wouldn't just put that out there.
Are you shooting Larry on Saturday night?
No, it's
so.
No, I shoot Barry during the week. Please don't put it out there that I don't watch Saturday Night Live. I don't want that to be the narrative of this.
Bill Hader hates Saturday Night Live.
No, that's not at all what I'm saying.
And loves Kanye.
No. Oh, Jesus.
Bill, thank you so much.
No, I'm walking away. My publicist is pulling me. He's been tapping your shoulder for the last 5 minutes.
I love you, have a boy publicist.
Yeah. Hello. He needs to go. All right. He has to talk to CNN. That's too accurate.
I know.
My glasses have fogged up. That was really funny. It's so accurate. I'm like, hi, what a journey. Is it still fun?
Congratulations on everything.
Congratulations on everything.
Everything, like what?
Evan,
like,
you don't even
like
know me.
Like unloading the dishwasher?
Well, it was like yeah, you don't know anything.
Successful BM?
Yeah.
Like, on everything? Okay, wait, one more improv or no? Do we have to get a good call?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
All right. We're doing something we've never done before, Anna.
Yeah.
So we're actually calling someone for the second time.
Yeah.
In our 3-year history. Now, I would like to say that normally we pride ourselves in giving pretty good advice, I would say, for the most part. But every once in a while, we throw up a big goose egg. And I think that in this situation, listen, I'm not going to blame us, because I think what happened was our guest, who I love, we love Bobby Lee. I don't think he answered the question. He gave advice, but not for this particular question.
He gave fucking great advice, but I did feel like normally we spend a little more time sort of listening
more, right? He kind of jumped to what the end was in his mind because of his own experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But we didn't really get to listen to Nicholas. So let's call
really
Nicholas again.
It's really sweet that he's willing to come back on the show.
All right, so Nicholas is 23, and he's in Arizona.
Enjoy this Verizon ring back.
But do we want to tell Bill?
Verizon.
Oh, yeah, I told.
I love this song.
This song's about my life.
Hello?
Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Hello.
Nicholas.
Nicholas, that's Bill Hader.
Oh, hello.
Hey, it's Bill Hader. We're here to figure out your thing.
Nicholas, first of all, thank you so much for coming back on the show. And I mean, I think Anna and I will be the first to say that we didn't give you the time that we should have given you. And
we felt like we railroaded you. And I'm sorry about that, Nicholas. And you're so kind to like come back on.
Oh, there's no problem. Thanks for having me again. I really appreciate it, actually.
Well, let's talk about what's going on with you. So let's start from the beginning. What's happening with you right now?
Okay. I guess it kind of started at the beginning of the semester. I'm going to grad school out in Phoenix at ASU. And there's a girl in my class that had a crush on for a while, but it turns out one of my friends in the class that I'm pretty close with and have worked on a lot of projects with actually is also has a crush on her and seems to like her a lot. And I didn't really know what to do, so I just kind of, you know, didn't do anything, let him talk to her, and nothing's really happened the past few months. And so I'm still kind of wondering if I should do anything about it or just move on. I guess on the previous podcast, the advice was to move on. And even though it's hard to hear, I kind of agreed with it after thinking about it a while because just because there's, I guess, it was the easier option to do at the time. But it's still kind of hasn't been resolved because, my friend really hasn't, I mean, they haven't really started dating or anything, so nothing's happened. So I guess kind of the question I have again is should I, you know, keep trying to move on, keep trying the dating apps and trying to meet people, or?
So normally, because, and I love Bobby Lee and I love the advice he gave, but I did, after the podcast was over, I felt like we hadn't heard you enough, just sort of so that's why thank you again for coming back on. But what draws you to her? Like, why do you, I mean, I assume that she's attractive and charming, and which is why, you know, two guys in your group have, you know, you and your friend mm-hmm. have a crush on her. But I know it's a simplistic question because, of course, she probably is.
Well, and it's something I I do find her very attractive, but something that's been, you know, hard for me and caused me kind of, what really caused me anxiety is she's a very shy person. She doesn't really express her feelings a lot, which, and also neither does my friend. So I kind of don't really know how to broach it with either of them because I'm kind of the opposite. I kind of talk about things pretty openly.
I don't know why. I made an incorrect assumption that she was an extrovert.
No, we never asked him.
I know,
any. This is the problem.
Know,
we never.
I know.
Can I ask you a question, Nicholas? Why do you feel like you need to give your buddy the right of way here? Like, why do you feel like he should get first crack?
I don't think that first crack or right of way is actually great terminology.
What I'm saying is, why does right, but you I know what? You, I, yes, I do, you know I, what? I, I'm yes, sorry. What's yeah, the what's no, the nice way to phrase it, Anna?
No, there isn't. I'm sorry. I did not mean to cut you down, Sim.
No, I know. I
just
know
want
that.
First crack at this.
Oh, burn.
I'm sorry. It sounded a little gross. What I meant to say is, why
no,
do you?
No,
why,
wait, yeah. Wait. But the idea of like ownership or winning or whatever.
But why,
like,
does he feel like his friend needs to go first?
I don't know.
That's also been kind of what I'm, you know, really conflicted about, because on the one hand, I guess it was just because, you know, I really got along with this person and really clicked with him, and I think I just kind of was being polite, and, you know, he seemed to really like her, even though he didn't really talk about a lot. But he doesn't really talk about a lot of things. He's kind of shy as well, but I can kind of tell he liked her a lot. So I guess that's really what it was just he kind of made the initiative first.
Do you worry that if you were to ask this girl out and you know, started to date her, that your friend would feel resentful towards you?
You know, I think so. That's what's been worrying me, because something happened with one of my friends a long time ago that was a similar situation, but it ended up working out somehow. But I think this is different. I think he likes her as much as me. So it's kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I think I would hurt his feelings a lot. And yeah, I've never been in this situation in terms of this. So.
And he has no idea that you like her?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I haven't broached the topic to him, and I want to, but also, I did just meet him like a couple months ago, so I haven't gotten to that level. Like,
I thought he was a better buddy than that. If you've only known him a couple of months, then
have you known her? This is Bill. Have you known her longer?
No, it's about the same amount. I mean, he's in my class.
Oh,
as well.
So you guys all just met at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be a stupid question, but are you friends with her, or is it Like, you guys hang out?
No, well, not really. And that is one thing that's kind of why, even though, like, the advice from, you know, from the previous podcast was tough to hear, I kind of agreed with that in a way, because also, like, maybe this is just presumptuous of me, but if I feel like she would have made a little bit more of an effort. I mean, then again, if she's shy, I'm not sure. But she hasn't really talked to me a lot either. But she doesn't talk to a lot of people in the class either. So that's kind of why I'm like, I don't know.
I mean, is there a way of...
So how do you know who she is? She must be fucking smoking. I mean, she must be fucking smoking. If she's shy and nobody's really heard from her, she's got to be so fucking hot. Okay. You could say yes. She has huge tits and a beautiful ass. It's okay. I can say it for you.
I don't know.
She's got like gorgeous hair and big eyes.
I can't really explain why I like her so much, but well, I guess I'm not the only one.
Have you hung out with her as like friends? Like just you guys?
No,
just you?
Not one-on-one. Yeah, just as a group, like we've gone out as like classes before. Like,
when you were with her during the group
situation,
any way
you could be slightly louder?
Sorry about that. You were hanging out as a group, what was your interaction?
He
like?
Has a gun on us, by the way. We're being held up.
I was, you know, I was trying to talk to her, but I was a little nervous. But also, my friend was talking to her a lot too.
Okay.
Every time we've done that. And that's kind of why I backed off.
Do you feel like she was reciprocating? Like, do you feel like she was into your buddy when he was talking to her? Did you check out the vibe?
Yeah, that's what I thought. But that was a couple months ago, and nothing's happened since then. So
he never asked her out
at the time.
He never. It's been 2 months. He never asked her out.
No.
You know what? This is fair game.
Not
Come
really,
on.
No.
2 months, and he had every opportunity to ask her out, and the friend didn't.
Fair game, dude. Sim.
Yes.
We have to work on your terminology here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I love you. I love you too.
Right. But I didn't mean to say it crass.
I meant to say
that he shouldn't feel bad.
I'm not fucking offended.
Okay.
I am worried that our sweet listeners are going to be offended.
You're right.
Okay, so fucking love you.
Yes.
No, listen.
I don't mean it
this
that
is
way.
Just
I don't,
about
I don't look at women as game.
No, I know that. And also, even if you did, I wouldn't give a fuck.
Right.
Okay,
but I don't.
But I just.
But what I'm saying
is wearing a robe right now. Just so you know, Nicholas.
A bunch of fucking letters.
He's wearing a robe and he's smoking
where it's
a
like,
cigarette
Sim,
in a holder. Sim, right
fuck
now.
You. Why are you referring to women as game? I'm trying to prevent that. I am protecting.
Do you agree with
you.
Me though?
Yeah, totally. I do. I do 100%. But I guess that means I don't. But I agree in the sense that. There's two guys that are, you know, vying for the attention of.
If this guy was vying for her attention, he would have asked her out 2 months ago. No one's vying for anyone right now, which is why I said this is completely fair for everyone.
Nicholas, this is Bill, and I'm just going to say if I were you in your situation, I would see if she would want to, like, do something as friends.
Really?
Yes.
No.
And see how that goes.
No.
Bill,
no.
Wait.
I would see.
Bill,
and I would test it out that way.
Wait, Nicholas.
See where she's at. If
wait,
she's
Bill,
shy.
Bill. Can we like role play this? Because
no.
I will be the shy girl.
No, I'm
no,
saying.
Come on.
No, but I'm
come
saying
on,
you if
be you. Nicholas,
but if you're friends.
No.
It's
try
it'll be
to
a more meaningful
me.
Thing
oh,
if
my
you're
God.
Friends.
Oh.
That's where I'm at.
Oh my God. No. Do you know nothing? We are fucking. We
what,
are
what do you
simple,
think you should do?
Complicated gender.
No, but I'm saying what? But you don't like friends? That could turn into a thing?
Nope.
She could feel comfortable
really.
Around him?
Nope.
Well, then she's
we're
not worth
old,
your time, bro.
Bill, we're old.
It's not worth your time, bro.
No. No.
She ain't going to be down for just going to see a movie, then she ain't worth your time.
But why can't she just see a movie with him? Why can't he ask her out on a real date?
First of all,
Bill,
cannot
why,
be a movie.
Why does it have to be a friend thing?
Well, I'm just saying if she's shy, if it wasn't like a shy person and he's not feeling easy about it, you hang out as you just take the
word.
But is that,
do you
is
know
that
a fucking baller move?
Oh, she said the word baller. So clearly we're in two totally different camps right now.
Yeah. All right. What if Nicholas wrote a weird fucking diary? not that weird, but a weird diary, and just said, listen, I called this podcast, I'm into you, and here's this weird, here it is. And it's like, I fucking eat pancakes today, and like, whatever, a picture of pancakes on a plate. And I'm digging this girl in my class, and I know that I should be studying or whatever. Like, not creepy.
That sounds creepy.
But
that's really creepy.
It sounds like full-on creepy.
I guess
if you got that diary, you would be like,
No. I'm
Nicholas. Don't do this.
I'm so into that kind of person. Oh God.
It's like,
especially at that age, not into it maybe anymore.
Wait, Anna, can I ask you, what's wrong with just asking her out? Just saying, hey, do you feel like going to grab a drink?
Well, I'm saying
sometime?
Certain people you could do that with. I'm saying, yeah. Judging from Nicholas and judging what you said about this girl.
Sounds like it doesn't seem like,
but here's the thing: you risk offending her by not asking her out on a real date. Then.
Why?
Because what if you? Because then she'll think that he just wants to hang out with me as friends, and she won't feel as attractive. Yes,
no.
Nicholas, what? They're overthinking this. Just do what you're comfortable with. I'm walking
maybe
away.
Maybe she likes Nicholas, and
I
maybe
say
she's attractive,
write
and she's really
weird
shy.
Weird diary.
Ask her out on a real date, friend.
No,
date.
Actually,
there's three different
I
things
might
going
take
on
it
right
back.
Now.
Nicholas,
don't write.
Don't do a diary. Nicholas, there's too much thought going into your love life over here.
Wait.
Way too much thought going into your love life.
Nicholas, we're too
what do you
old.
Feel? What do you feel comfortable
we're too
with
fucking
doing?
Old.
Here, I'm asking him a question. What do you feel comfortable
Fuck
doing?
Fuck you, Bill.
What do you feel comfortable doing?
I guess what I feel most comfortable with is talking to her. I don't know. I guess trying to talk to her as a friend first, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Get to know her so people know who you are. And then they know, oh, I know who you are and I like you. Oh, now you're asking me on a date, as opposed to, I don't really know you when you're asking me on a date.
Bill, when they're becoming friends, she'll be dating another dude. She'll find someone
How do you
else
know
and
that?
Ask her out on a real date.
Yeah.
What do you
this is I'm telling you, this is if he's gonna miss the whole boat here. They'll become great friends, but he'll never know if there's something romantic underneath.
But, okay, right. But here's the problem. At this age, women, it's such a fucking stereotype or in a simplification, but it's true that people are attracted to the simplistic, narcissistic level of themselves. So we want like the fucking hot thing. We want like the fucking jerk because it somehow validates something in ourselves, right? So it's incredibly difficult to make human connection that's meaningful. Because we're about sort of social validation at this age and probably much longer than we want to admit.
So diary, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, creepy fucking diary, man.
I just feel like Sim and I are going to disagree, but I say do whatever you feel comfortable with.
And wait, then, no, you can't. That's
great advice.
Wow. Yeah, great Bill hater. Coming in strong with the vague.
That's not vague. I just said be friends.
Do what you feel comfortable with.
I say be
with.
Friends. Okay.
Yeah.
Make a diary with a picture of pancakes in it.
Yes.
And see how that goes over.
Yes. At least it will resonate. At least it'll be like...
You'll be on fucking Dateline.
It'll be so different from being like...
You're fucking Keith Morrison will be in your house. I made a thing about pancakes. We're on a podcast. This is a story about the pancake diary to woo a girl. But she went crazy. He went out with his friend. Then she became a real chatterbox.
But
she wasn't shy at all. She really opened up to this friend. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you clearly don't.
I'm just saying if it was me, that's what I would do.
What?
Be friends. I've already said it like five times.
I know,
but here's the
question.
But that
is so much easier.
Bill, wouldn't you want to know if you really liked her? Wouldn't it just kill you inside knowing that, you know, you have something to say to her, but you can't say it because you're hiding behind friendship?
Because I don't know. There is no friendship there. That's what he's saying.
This is where
there is no friendship.
Right,
I don't.
Saying,
he doesn't even know.
You're saying jump straight to friend zone first and see if it turns into something.
Friend zone. This is the fair game dude talking. I'm not talking about friend zone or whatever. I'm talking about just normal human interaction.
That doesn't
like
happen
me,
at this age.
It happened with me at that age, and it was fine. I did great. And I fucking lived in Tempe, dude. So I know where you're at.
No, Bill's being a fucking dick. Sim's being a dick, and I'm being a dick, and I'm sorry about that. But
this is supposed Nicholas, to be like this call is supposed to be the makeup call.
This is a makeup call, and now Nicholas is like, so I'm going to make a diary to be friends.
The problem is, Nicholas, we fundamentally don't know what to do. We don't know what to do.
They're just making it more difficult. They're making it way more difficult. It's so simple, dude. You go over and you hang out and you get to know her. Because you might not want to date her, dude.
Wait, go over and hang out? Come on.
He's in love with her. He's completely in love with her.
But do you know her?
You're like, hey, can I
Nicholas,
like,
do you know
go
her?
Over to
Nicholas,
her dorm?
Do you know her?
Hey, I'm going to swing by your dorm room.
I don't know her. I don't know her too well.
See, he doesn't know her too well. That's what I'm saying, dude.
You told me at the last call that you really were into her and you were pining over her.
I just don't. There's nothing easy about this.
But now I'm hearing different things. Nicholas, do you like her or not?
Yes, of course he does.
Do you know her?
I do.
Do you know her? Does she know you?
Does she?
I mean, yeah, we know each other from class.
But are you,
like,
does she have a curvaceous figure?
Fair game. That's way worse than...
If you don't know her intellectually, then how else do you know her?
That's true.
Thank you. I've been doing this a lot longer than you, fuck.
Wait, hold on. Bill, can you get to know someone on a date? I just want to know.
No, yeah, you can. But I'm just saying, in my experience, if you don't know, just like go talk to her, hang out with her. She might say something, you go, oh, fuck this.
But I'm not talking about going and being best friends.
I'm just
practical just about what you're saying. No. Like, listen, do you give advice that says, do you say something like, okay, ask her to be a part of your study group? And then what, like surreptitiously?
No, I'm not saying have any ulterior motives. I'm saying take it step by step.
But truly, how do you do the step by step then? Like,
I don't know what's going to happen to him in his life.
How do you ask somebody that you haven't really talked to, that you've crushed on?
Do you want to be in my study group? I'm going to go see A Star Is Born. Would you like to come with me? Or, hey, would you like to be in my study group? Or, hey, I'm doing this thing. Or you just chat with him, get him in a conversation, hang out, you know?
You make it sound so easy.
Well, it's easy for me. I'm sorry, Nicholas. It was really...
God, I'm so sorry, Nicholas. This is like the second dick you've had.
But Nicholas, do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying, right?
No.
Yeah, I understand what everyone's saying. Yeah.
He's getting three different conflicting things here.
So he's like on Amazon buying a diary.
Pretty often.
Yes, which is the
Pancake
way
diary.
Better advice. At that age, if someone were to come up to me that I hadn't really talked to, that I would be resistant and hesitant, because at that time of my life, I wanted fucking jerks. I wish that this wasn't the case.
You're not advocating that Nicholas become a dick in this situation, but you are saying that he should be a little bit more forward and a little confident with the fact that he should ask this person out on a real date and see what happens, right?
Yeah,
I hope.
Potentially, but I'm just saying, if a nice guy in my class were to have asked me out, I would have been like, I don't know, let's be friends, which is the thing that, you know, Bobby was talking about, which I don't want to promote that idea, because I understand that fundamentally that wasn't a healthy place for me, nor was it a healthy place for like the fucked up douches that I wanted to like me, as opposed to the good guys like Nicholas. And so, but I also don't want Nicholas's heart to be like kind of broken and rejected. So I truly don't fucking know. I think that, you know, if she is shy and quiet, maybe, and she's not like, you know, a loud, obnoxious person like myself, although at the time I wasn't, God, I became that, I morphed into that. Maybe if the timing is right, I don't know, ask her if she'd like to have a glass of wine or something, or I wouldn't go for coffee. That tends to make people of your age incredibly crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
I don't know. I don't know. This is like really one for you guys with your...
Nicholas, how would you feel if you were just friends with her?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Would it be eating you up inside? Would you want to know?
Of course.
So wouldn't you want to know first and foremost? Like, I would want to know if she has any interest in me at all. I'd want to ask her out on a date. And if she says yes, you go on a date and see where it goes. And if she says no, if you try the whole friend thing and the whole time he's going to fall more and more in love with her, it's going to turn into this, it's just going to turn into more and more of a depression. Especially if she's dating other dudes while he's becoming a good friend of hers.
That's true. You're right. Sim, you raise a fair point.
I don't care about your love life anymore, Nicholas.
Bill is being a fucking dick.
I'm just going to say I've moved on.
Don't worry.
I think you're going to be great, man. I've honestly, for the last 10 minutes, been thinking about something totally different. No, I'm joking. But no, I hear what Sim's saying, so.
Yeah. Oh.
Thank you, Bill. Wait, I appreciate that.
Bill.
Good luck.
Way to wrap it up. You're not getting out of here so easily. How about you tell her, listen, maybe don't preface it with listen. That's very patronizing. I hate it when people say that shit to me. But say, I would love to get a drink with you in the next couple of days. Would you be okay with that? Or how would you feel about that? And then resist the temptation, which I can't, to babble on. But also, don't make her feel nervous if she is a shy person in any way. Oh, see, I'm babbling on.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I think you're making him more nervous. With this.
I know.
I think it's very simple. You just talk to her and you ask her out casually and maybe, you know what, make it sound like you're friends, but it's really a date. If you ask her out to dinner or drinks, she'll know it's a date. And then when you two
so
are alone, and then you
the
flirt.
The better idea. But drinks or dinner, right? That's better than like
drinks,
a coffee.
Dinner. Yeah, no coffee.
No
definitely,
coffee or
definitely,
movie.
Yeah, nighttime for sure.
Yeah, nighttime for sure.
No movie.
No coffee or movie.
I think drinks is, you know, you can start with drinks and then you can get appetizers and see what happens after that. Bill is like,
we don't know what
going
the
to,
fuck.
I'm going to another
this
place.
This is like where it's tapping into our into most unqualified weirdly.
You mean how to ask someone out?
Yes.
You just ask them out.
You guys are making this so difficult. Nicholas knows how to live his life. Nicholas, you're fine, right? You know how to ask someone
Nicholas,
out, right?
Okay, final advice for Nicholas.
Nicholas, I do think that... will you please just be in touch with us?
Okay, Nicholas.
I don't think he is. I think Nicholas is.
I think
left.
He hates
no,
us now.
Nicholas,
we were supposed to.
No, we're going to like call Nicholas on a weekly basis. Nicholas, if you don't mind.
Nicholas, I hope you don't like college.
We're going to figure this out. Okay, I promise. Okay, Nicholas, will you. We're going to. I swear to God, I'm going to contact you again.
We're
going to figure
again.
Out what's going on with you.
Fuck.
Thank
Nicholas,
you so much.
I love
I'm sorry.
You, and thank
we
you.
Apologize again.
No. I truly, Nicholas, thank you. Please, can we annoy you later?
Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me, though. I'll keep in touch for sure and give you updates on the situation. Definitely try to be talk to her more in class, at the very least. I'm being a little nervous. I need to be a little more, at least, open. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
We're pulling for you, Nicholas. Thank you.
Oh, we love you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Can we please, like, we have to, this is
we'll
ongoing.
We'll follow up with him.
All right.
Do you want to end the show or do you want to do another call? It's up to you.
Should we do one more call?
Yeah. You want to do another call? Yeah.
I know, but I do tend to go on and on and on, but I don't know.
Well, it's a podcast.
That's what it is, right? I'm fine.
You guys both gave terrible male advice.
I just do what I would have done.
What? What the fuck? Yeah. Fuck both of you guys. 23 years old. There's a hot girl that everyone in class has a crush on, and you guys are just like, well, just go up and talk to her, just go like ask her out on a date, say you want to be friends.
See that being weird.
All right, are we ready to call Casey? We're gonna call Casey now, and she is in Oklahoma. Oh, you're from Oklahoma.
I'm from Oklahoma,
and she's 23.
I'm going to bug you about that later.
Me being from Tulsa?
No. No. You being like, just be friends.
Why is that weird?
Hello?
Hi, Casey. Yes.
Hi, Casey.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
I'm very great. I'm a little nervous, but I'm great.
I'm here with Will Bader.
Hi, it's me, Bill Hader. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma, actually.
I knew that, actually. Oklahoma represent.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What is Oklahoma known for right now?
Tornadoes.
Wait, but you guys have the Supersonics?
No, oh, yeah, we did. Well, now they're the Thunder.
Thunder.
Yeah.
Thunder.
We took the Supersonics. Sorry.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast, Casey.
Casey, tell us what's going on with this guy at work.
Okay, so I've been working with this guy for about 9 months now, and here's just like a little background on him so you guys kind of know who I'm dealing with, and this is kind of like a list of deal breakers for me. He likes to brag about being a douchebag. He just kind of openly says, I'm a douchebag, I'm proud of it. I don't know if he's trying to impress me by it, but it definitely doesn't. He's very disrespectful towards women, especially our boss. He'll tell her to shut up when she has to correct him on his mistake. He makes mistakes quite a bit, so I hear this all the time. I've definitely voiced my opinion on it and told him how I feel about it. I think it just goes in one ear and out the other because he still does it. We also have opposite work ethics. I'm very OCD. I'm very clean. He's very sloppy and unorganized, which really shouldn't bother me as much as it does, but it does because he sits right next to me. So his stuff will kind of pile up. It'll linger over to my desk. It just gets frustrating. The last thing is he's very egotistical, but in an unrealistic way. He always talks about making $1 million, but he does nothing to further his financial goals. So with all that being said, about a month ago, he asked to meet in person. So we did. Long story short, he wanted to know if I liked him. I very nicely told him that I don't, and I think we're just better off as friends. So now skip forward to 2 nights ago. He called me wanting to meet up again. So we did. May I let you guys know, it's probably 11 o'clock at night. We've both been drinking separately. He starts to tell me that he would risk $1 million for me, even if it only lasted a week. I kind of laughed a little bit and told him that that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I've already told you that I don't have feelings for you. I wouldn't risk $1 million for you, so you should just keep it. Then I just kind of blatantly asked him, you know, why do you like me? I'm just curious. He proceeds to tell me he likes when I get irritated because he thinks it's cute. He also said he purposely does stuff to piss me off because when I'm a bitch, it's a turn on to him. So to kind of sum up my response to that, I kind of went on this 15 to 10 minute rant over all those qualities that I just can't accept. I can't accept his disrespect towards women. His sloppiness, him trying to live up to this douchebag lifestyle. After I kind of went on that whole rant, I felt super confident that I made it clear to him. So I tell him I have to go. So I get out of the car. He gets out of the car. He walks around the corner. He gives me a hug. And to my surprise, he leans in for a kiss. Since I was so confident, he caught me so off guard. I just pushed him away and all I could say was no. I was legit at a loss for words. I think I said no probably 5 times before I was like, all right, Casey, get in the car. I was just so speechless. So after that, I kind of just realized this guy isn't taking me seriously. If I'm nice to him, he thinks I'm flirting. If I'm a bitch, apparently that's a turn on for him. So now I'm just in this uncomfortable position. And since I have to work with him, it's awkward and I don't want that tension building up. So with all that being said, my question to you guys is, how do I make it clear to him that I'm not into him?
Well, Casey, here's what I'm worried about is that you are into him. And does he sound like a fucking dick? Yes.
yes.
but if you continue a relationship with him? Will he break your heart? I would kind of put, oh God, and I just want you to protect yourself, because because you're answering, I feel like you're answering your own question. I mean, the way that you talk about him, it's like you know all the answers here. You're giving us every reason to not be on his side at all, because he sounds like a fucking ass. And I want you to feel valued and loved and protected. And I don't see a world where, with what you've described, that this guy could give that to you. I mean, you guys, of course, agree, right?
How does she tell him to fuck off?
Oh, I don't think she should. I think that only instigates it.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to add any more oxygen to the fire.
It's
like, is silent treatment an option? Is there a way you could go to your boss and say, can you move me? This guy's bothering me. Can you please move me? Is that an option, you think?
See, I've actually thought about doing that, but then I kind of don't want it to get back to him. And then I just get labeled like this snitch or this person that, I don't want him to put like a label on me for doing that. And I don't know if that's going to make it more uncomfortable, or if I should actually just say fuck off and hurt his feelings, or if I should go, because I could have went a lot deeper when I went into my rant. I was very harsh about it, but I didn't yell at the guy. I feel like now I have to yell at him.
I mean, if you ever feel physically threatened or emotionally threatened, or then that's like something that we're not qualified to answer any of this shit, really. But here's the thing that I recognize. I think maybe I'm incorrect in this, but when I was your age, sort of liking guys that that displayed this kind of behavior, and I don't, when really they, certain people get off on whatever the game, and it sounds like that's what this guy's doing. And so I just want you to protect yourself. So I would just, and it's going to be so hard, but I would not engage at all. Like I would be polite unless things get more escalated. I would just minimize drama.
Yeah, you take the high road as much as you can. It's hard. Yeah. It's really hard.
It is so hard. Because you'll have
a bunch of things that you...
Yeah.
I say take the high road and find good friend or two that you can vent what you want to say to him. But don't say it to him, because he'll just add, that's what he wants.
That's exactly. Like. And he may find your distance suddenly appealing and resist the temptation to engage after a couple of months, if he's suddenly like, why aren't you talking to me? We used to be so close, or whatever happens. Long story short, I'm not crazy about this guy for you at all. And I want you to protect yourself, please.
Just don't let him get to you, right?
But take the high road.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Take the high road, like Bill said.
And please let us know, because you're not alone. You're not alone. This is very, very common that, like, it's happened to me before, where a guy who is unbelievably charming and manipulative makes, you feel like you would be so lucky to have, a guy like me in your life. And I just don't want you to fall for it, because it's a broken-hearted road at the end of this. Please be in touch, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Casey.
Casey, I love you.
Yeah, thank you guys for taking my call. I love all of you guys.
I love you too, and truly thank you for being vulnerable. And please, 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 let's be in touch. We're gonna get a lot of feedback on this.
Thanks, Casey.
Of course, of course. I will let you guys know what happened. Love you guys.
Love you too. Bye, Casey.
All right.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Thanks a lot for being here.
No problem. Man, hope she figures her thing out. That sucks.
You're very compassionate.
No, I mean it.
No. No, I do too. No, I do too. Like,
that blows.
Fuck, man. Yes.
It really blows. Feel like, especially when it's someone you sit next to at work.
At what point do you bring in management? If it gets to the point where it's just escalated, where it just becomes harassment? Because I think we're kind of bordering on that now, right? A little bit? I don't know.
I'm completely unqualified to answer.
I
don't know.
You're right.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I truly don't.
She would know, though, right? I hope
so. And if she didn't, maybe she could reach back out to us, and we could get somebody more professional to help her with it. I'm just gonna sit here in silence for a long time.
This has been the Anna Faris Show. Signing off. The most bummer.
Will Bader. Thank you so much for being here.
Flynn Plinger and Sean Bomber and Sim.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Bill.